Hello and welcome. Welcome to worship at St. Stephen's United Church on this, the third Sunday of Advent. Time is certainly marching on. We come closer and closer to gaze upon the beautiful face of the Christ child. So please worship with us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today, we light the Advent candles, the candle of hope, the candle of peace, and today, the candle of joy. We light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing for the full coming of God's kingdom. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Let's join together in today's call to worship. We come to prepare the way for Christ, the hope of Christ, the peace of Christ, to enter our world, to enter our hearts. We cry out together in the wilderness, the kingdom of heaven has come near. We come to be part of the light that shines in the darkness. Please pray with me. We will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. Our souls magnify the Lord. With our mouths, we proclaim God's faithfulness to all generations. Our spirits rejoice in God, our Saviour. We declare that your steadfast love is established forever. His mercy is to those who fear him from generation to generation. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. You are our God and the rock of our salvation. Amen. And let's say the prayer of confession together. Patient God, forgive our lack of faith in your loving power. We look around us and all that we see is what we don't have. We fail to notice the daily blessings you lavish upon us. Clear our blindness to the needs of others. Strengthen us and move us beyond our excuses for not serving you, and help us to truly listen to one another, not with our pat answers ready, but with loving and generous hearts. As we prepare for Jesus' birth, heal us and make us ready to truly be his disciples. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, as we prepare to draw near to the manger, behold and believe in the wondrous power and love of God. In Christ, it has been poured out for us and for God's beloved world. Rejoice in this good news, for it is given especially to you. Thanks be to God. And God's people say, Amen.
Good morning, I'm Claire.
And I'm Gail.
We'd like to talk to you about the Community Meals Program. Now, the Community Meals Program began operating in Qualicum Beach 16 years ago. It was started by a group of dedicated folk who had been involved in mission work outside of Canada. When they came home, they realized the need to support the less fortunate people right here in Oceanside with a hot, nutritious meal and an opportunity for fellowship.
St. Stephen's Church generously offered the use of their hall and kitchen for this program. Each Thursday since then, Community Meals has distributed a free lunch consisting of homemade soup, sandwiches, desserts, coffee, and juice for anyone in need of a meal. Starting with three people attending the first lunch, the program has expanded to serving 200 people weekly. A monthly dinner has been added as well.
Community Meals clientele includes those who are homeless and in need of food, those who are on a tight budget and appreciate the extra meal, those who live alone and seek companionship, people traveling through the area that are in need of a meal, as well as students from our neighboring Qualicum Secondary School who inject a lovely sense of energy and youth to our lunches.
But Community Meals is more than just food. Two outreach workers from Forward House attend the lunches and provide assistance with guests' immediate concerns such as counseling, housing applications, temporary income assistance, and other personal needs.
And these Forward House workers, plus two from Provincial Health, distribute 70 bag lunches each week to homeless in the outlying areas, covering the Oceanside area from Nanaimo to Bowser.
Flu shots and COVID shots are also available.
And clothing, personal and seasonal items are donated by community members and distributed to guests. Pet food is donated also.
In addition, MANA has recently become part of the Community Meals program, providing support and supplies for those in need.
There are currently about 20 community members who volunteer to help make these meals possible. Some are involved in pickup of donations, shopping, preparing the food, and serving the meals. Others set up tables and chairs, serve coffee, clean up, while others mingle with the guests and help them feel welcome and offer spiritual care if required.
Several of the original volunteers are from the church congregation and have been committed to the program since the beginning. But we welcome others who may be new and looking for connections in the community. One of our long-serving volunteers is a young autistic man who has been setting up tables and coffee for 14 years.
The Community Meals program was recently honored by the town of Qualicum Beach as the 2022 winner of the Above and Beyond Award for the dedicated work of the volunteers that make this service possible.
So how do we get our money to operate?
Good question.
Currently, it costs about $1,800 a month to prepare meals. Funds for this are provided solely by donations from
service groups such as the Rotary and the Legion,
Qualicum Secondary School from their grad fund,
community members, people attending the lunches,
as well donations of bread, baked goods, produce are supplied by local grocery stores and the Salvation Army Food Bank, and seasonally from a local market garden and Milner Gardens.
Now, pre-COVID, up to 200 people were served every Thursday. During COVID, though, with no students, no dinners, and only takeout lunches for guests, our numbers dropped significantly to about 25.
But since opening up last April to full inside lunches and dinners again, outreach lunches starting, and students returning, our numbers are steadily increasing. Currently, we're back up to serving around 200 meals each week to community members, students, and hungry outreach folks.
So if you're interested in partnering with us, we have a few ideas that you might be interested in. We'd love some more Q-Bird turkey vouchers for the upcoming Christmas dinner.
Donations of winter items such as warm clothing and bedding are always welcome. Please talk to Kevin about what the needs are.
Come and join us for lunch on Thursdays. We have the best soup in town, and see what goes on and chat with our guests.
Please lift up the program in prayer as we desire to follow God's will.
Now this is a little extra thing that's not part of the community meals, but we've been given 50 purses which are on display in the hallway. You're encouraged to take a purse and stuff it with treats and personal items that a lady might need. There's an insert in each with a list of possible items, so I'm sure you all have lots of ideas of your own.
Once these are filled, drop them off at the church, and we will send them out with Forward House and other outreach groups to match them up with their clients. We see this as a unique way to bless some of our ladies and hope that you do too. It's so exciting to see God's handiwork in so many segments of the Community Meals ministry. Thank you, St. Stephen's, for all the ways you support and encourage.
Good morning, everyone. Our scripture reading this morning is found from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A couple of weeks ago, when we started Advent, I spent some time sharing with you all about how these Old Testament readings from the prophets can help us to lift our perspective. Through them, we are able to see ourselves and our lives as part of a much bigger story. It is the story of God and humankind. And it is a story that spans from the beginning of time all the way to the day when we will finally arrive at the goal that God has had in mind for us all along. 700 years before Jesus' birth, God gave the prophet Isaiah a vision for that goal, for where all of this is headed. And on that first Sunday in Advent 2 weeks ago, we heard about an incredible and a compelling part of that vision. That passage that we reflected on from Isaiah 2 describes a time when war will be a thing of the past and there'll be peace among all nations in the world. It'll be a time when people from all over will come to enjoy God's presence and we'll discover God teaching us all how to live the way we've been made to live. It was a message of hope that we got from Isaiah that week on that first Sunday in Advent. Well, last week, on our second Sunday, we actually had the option of turning to another reading from Isaiah, that one from chapter 11. Now, while we didn't reflect on that passage from Isaiah directly last week, we did hear Paul refer to it in the reading from Romans 15 that Foster led us through. You'll remember that there Paul reminded us that Isaiah said, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope." The Isaiah 11 scripture passage tells us of God's promise to send a child who would be born from the line of King David. It's a prophecy about Jesus coming, and it tells us what he would be like and what he would do. We hear how he will rule in a way that is righteous and faithful, drawing people towards God and towards the life with God that we hope for. Well, as you have heard by now and picked up on, I'm sure, we're talking a fair amount during this Advent season about how this is a time of waiting and a time of anticipation. And we're actually feeling that waiting and anticipation as we hear readings like these, passages that help us to remember and to lean towards the promises that God has made to us. We're recalling the ways that God has already fulfilled some of his promises. And most importantly, we're remembering how God promised that Jesus would come and that he has come in that incredible way that we are getting ready to celebrate again together. During Advent, we get to rest in this realization that Christ did indeed come just as God had promised. And we let that realization deepen our trust and our anticipation that one day he's going to come again. And then we will get to finally see all of God's promises fulfilled completely. Well, today we are returning to Isaiah and to another passage that is full of promise for us. In this part of that incredible vision, God showed Isaiah more about the time when his work in this world will be complete, and we'll finally get to live the life of blessing that we look forward to. Through Isaiah, God is inviting us all to look ahead to that future. And the picture that he showed Isaiah of it is absolutely incredible. It's pretty obvious why this is a great reading for us for today as we focus on joy for this third Sunday of Advent. As we heard, joy and rejoicing are woven throughout the entire passage. Isaiah describes this glorious scene where all things are rejoicing and singing. Not just humans, but even creation seems to be able to rejoice. Even the dry, desolate places in creation, places like the wilderness and the desert. We hear that the desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like a crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. It's this incredible picture of life and joy erupting everywhere. And it's a picture that encourages us, quite literally builds courage and strength within us. The courage and strength we need on the days when we're feeling a bit weak and wobbly. This vision helps us to endure, to wait for the time coming when life will be that good. And those wonderful things that God showed Isaiah will finally happen. The blind will see. The deaf will hear. The lame will walk. And those who are without a voice will finally be able not just to speak, but actually to sing songs of joy. Parched dry earth will be watered with bubbling springs, and where nothing could grow, life will finally burst forth. And in the midst of all of that, Isaiah describes a highway, a way that will be free from danger and threat, a way by which we get to come to God, rejoicing as we go along it. This whole picture is a picture of abundance, abundant joy, and abundant life. One of my professors from my days at VST once shared with us that she believes that the heart of the gospel message is actually in John chapter 10, verse 10, where we hear Jesus say, "I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." I've been chewing on that idea for about 6 years now, and prophecies like this one have me thinking that she has a pretty good point. This vision of what is to come describes a life when all that is broken in this world is finally restored and put right. It's a life in which all things, humans and all the rest of God's good creation, are whole once again. And bringing us to that life of wholeness seems to be what we see God doing throughout the biblical story. And so Jesus has told us, "I came so that you might have life and have it abundantly." That word life probably seems like a pretty ordinary word to us. But I want to suggest to you that maybe it shouldn't be quite so ordinary. Maybe it's a far more important word than we usually think. Maybe that sense of life is what we really need to be paying attention to as we seek God. Jesus has told us that he came to bring life. So maybe we need to be watching closely for all the ways that we see that happening. All the ways that we see life bubbling up around us and within us. What kind of things are giving you life today? It's probably worth thinking about that, certainly throughout this Advent season and even beyond. I think if we watch for the places that we have this sense of life springing up, we might, perhaps inadvertently, discover some things that God is doing around us. So I really encourage you. I encourage you to watch for life. It's a great practice, and it can be a great thing to help us discern what God is doing, where God's presence is active. I came so that you may have life and have it abundant. Jesus said it, and he showed it clearly. Remember, as a child, he had been captivated by these visions of the prophets that we are actually revisiting this Advent, visions that describe life. And as Jesus grew, he was entirely determined to embody that life, to teach us about it, and to lead anyone who would follow him towards it. This whole and abundant life that Jesus came to give us has truly been God's promise and plan for this world all along. So with that in our minds, I want to read to you this passage that we have before us today again now, but this time from Peterson's The Message translation. And I invite you, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes as you listen. Don't worry about figuring out what it means. Just let the words draw you into the vision. Try to see what Isaiah describes. Try to be there. Be there in that incredible vision for life. Gracious God, you showed this incredible promise to Isaiah. And so now we ask that you would show it to each of us as well. Amen. Listen, friends. Listen and see. Wilderness and desert will sing joyously. The Badlands will celebrate and flower. Like the crocus in the spring, bursting into blossom, a symphony of color. Mountain glories of Lebanon, a gift, awesome Carmel, stunning Sharon. Gifts. God's resplendent glory fully on display. God awesome. God majestic. Energize the limp hands. Strengthen the rubbery knees. Tell fearful souls, courage, take heart. God is here, right here, on his way to put things right and to redress all wrongs. He's on his way. He'll save you. Blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis. Thirsty ground a splashing fountain. Even lowly jackals will have water to drink, and barren grasslands will flourish richly. There will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It's for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on it. No lions on this road. No dangerous wild animals. Nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people God has ransomed will come back to him on this road. They'll sing as they make their way home to Zion. Unfading halos of joy encircling their heads. Welcomed home. Welcomed home with gifts of joy and gladness as all sorrows and sighs scurry into the night. Can you feel the joy that radiates throughout the entire vision? By God's design, as we are swept up into that whole, abundant, vibrant life God is creating for us, we all, people, creatures, nature, even the earth itself, we all will experience deep and abiding joy. This life of wholeness, this life of joy, abundant joy, my dear friends, this life is the life God promises us. Amen.
Joy shall come. Living.
Good morning. This Advent, dear Lord, come to our hearts and fill us with your presence. Remind us of the gift you gave us when you sent your Son to be with us, our greatest gift. We know you are always with us through all time. This coming Sunday, we celebrate the gift of the coming of Jesus in a beautiful cantata called Comfort and Joy. We welcome all who would like to come and listen at 2 p.m. You come to us through other people and their love and concern for us. You come to us through men, women, and children who need our help. You come to us by providing us with the compassion and means to comfort others. The birth of Jesus has the power to bring us great joy this Christmas, the same joy that flooded the hearts of the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, and Mary and Joseph, the joy that has the power to overwhelm our hearts with rejoicing. We celebrate our joy with family, friends, and all our relationships. We celebrate you, dear Lord, our greatest gift. We ask you to surround us with your presence, Lord, to clear our minds of the countless concerns and the holiday noise. Slow us down this Christmas. Let us not be in a rush. We want to feel your hush. This Christmas, may we all experience the blessings of comforting joy and joyous comfort. Keep us close to you, Lord, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Will you join me in praying to dedicate the gifts you have so generously given this week to God's purposes? Almighty God, who made us who we are, we offer all of ourselves to you. Take our talents, our energy, and our joy, and use us to share your love. Take our mistakes, our regrets, and our pain, and use us to bring your healing. Magnify the gifts we offer before you today to spread your peace in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, one day the wilderness will blossom with flowers, and the desert wasteland will come alive with new growth, and God's glory and splendor will be on full display. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands, and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear, for your God is coming to save you. So go with confidence into the days ahead. And as you go, may the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit be among and within you. Amen.
Shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and the trees of the field shall come, shall come. you shall